Chapter 11. Juanita Ramos is either a stripper in Atlanta or a Native American medicine woman. After ProPublica published the story of Rob Stewart's private plane and doomed contract, I was inundated with hundreds of tips and inquiries from across the globe, in emails, on Twitter, and through encrypted apps. Broker after broker reached out, claiming they could deliver masks, or they knew a guy who could. A few got through on my cell phone, including a man near Seattle who asked if I could connect him with the top brass at FEMA or the VA so he could try to sell masks to them. I told him journalists don't do that sort of thing. But I'd love to know more about his business, I said. And after a few basic questions such as, what's the name of your company? And how did you get these masks? The man ended the call. My favorite tips were those that included proof-of-life videos, cell phone footage claiming to show millions of masks on the ground waiting for a lucky buyer. Almost always, the video showed boxes labeled 3M, but didn't reveal much else. I connected with as many of these brokers as I could and was shocked to learn that during this particular time in lockdown, people were wiring fortunes to strangers based on little else than a grainy video. I was beyond bored in my apartment at this point, and thus followed each lead down its own rabbit hole. The jackpot, I hoped, was in there. Finding a warehouse where masks were being sold at extreme markups. I engaged with a South African who reached out via Twitter and claimed to have a surplus of KN95s. I obviously wasn't going to buy any, but I couldn't help myself. Do you have proof of life? I responded. Yes, my contact has proof of life. I will connect you with my guy, he wrote back. He forwarded a video that appeared to be from China, featuring a woman holding a sheet of paper with his name on it, boxes allegedly containing thousands of masks behind her. Another video sent to me included a date stamp, and showed a man loading the boxes into a truck. Each time, I'd ask the broker a couple of follow-up questions, and they'd disappear. I managed to turn a few domestic mask brokers into sources and asked them to walk me through their business. A few claimed they had just seen a multi-million-dollar windfall because of COVID. It's like stumbling into the drug business, said one broker, Rick B., who talked to me on the condition that I not publish his last name. Using public records, I independently confirmed his full name and business associations. You start out as a guy on the corner holding a little bit of product, and the next thing you know, you're making calls and connecting people. Rick B. was about to open a marijuana dispensary in Nevada when COVID scuttled his plans. On the suggestion of a friend in the marijuana business, which is tangential to medical supplies in some ways, he pivoted his business and made six figures in a couple of weeks. But the guys who got into the mask racket early, he said, made just stupid amounts of money. There are scandalous brokers out there, Rick B. said. There are people that just make me want to take a Silkwood shower at the end of the day, referring to the classic film about radiation exposure. There are brokers out there who are buying at $3 and marking it up to $6 or $7. I learned resellers pursued three avenues to attain masks. The first was the all-cash spot buy, done fast to keep the feds from confiscating inventory. In this scenario, a seller broadcasted, typically via email or messages on WhatsApp, that they had a mask lot on the ground. A potential buyer bid for the product and provided either a purchase order or bank records to show they had funds backing the deal. In return, the seller would usually provide proof of life. The money was funneled through an escrow account, similar to a real estate deal, and released to the seller upon mask inspection. The second type of deal was a direct buy of existing stock from a manufacturer such as 3M or Honeywell. To pull this off, and avoid scrutiny from the feds, a purchase order needed to come directly from a hospital or government agency. This approach was less attractive to brokers because it required more paperwork, oversight, and the masks sold for near the list price so as to avoid allegations of price gouging. I could not find a single broker who had a productive conversation with 3M, other than to confirm that masks they were looking at were counterfeits. The third type of deal was to purchase a production line, a commitment to buy X amount of masks at X price over X period of time from a reputable factory. It's sort of like a futures buy. I came across multiple documented deals attempting this, but I am unaware of one that worked out in the buyer's favor. The mechanics of the deals were clear, yet determining with 100% certainty how a specific box of masks bought with taxpayer money traveled through this gouging daisy chain proved beyond difficult. I'd connect a node here and a node there, and then hit a roadblock, or come to learn the deal was altogether a fantasy that never materialized at all. I was swimming in mysteries. But there was one question driving me especially crazy. Who the fuck is Juanita Ramos? I couldn't get the question out of my mind. I had hit a roadblock on my search for the alleged fixer that Robert Stewart said was pulling strings with the White House Coronavirus Task Force. Stewart had claimed she had the political clout and connections to save his $34.5 million deal with the VA. It teased a potentially big story about yet more cronyism and profiteering within the Trump machine, this time in the context of his administration's most consequential failure, that of abdicating responsibility to protect the American people. I considered that the story could be complete bullshit, of course. But it did seem too specific for Stewart to have manufactured the whole thing. He'd also taken the extraordinary step of name-dropping Ramos in his letter of appeal to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. I am providing a proof-of-life video that demonstrates these masks are on hand and will be released upon review of the final details of the additional vetting. We've been instructed by Vice President Pence's task force that this will be concluded within the allotted extension requested. Ms. Juanita Ramos, leader of this vetting report, will be contacting the VA secretary directly on our behalf to explain this situation further, Stewart wrote to contract officers in late April. His words were specific and confident, suggesting at the very least that he believed it. But the White House, the VA, the Pence task force, none had any idea who the hell Juanita Ramos was, and damn it, neither did I. Despite my best efforts and bringing to bear the know-how and resources of ProPublica's formidable research team, I had struck out. For a day or two, on Twitter and among friends, it became something of a meme. Where in the world is Juanita Ramos? After that story was published in May, a Colorado friend of mine named Crisno texted, "Juanita Ramos is either a stripper in Atlanta or a Native American medicine woman." This comment fit with the sardonic and random nature of our friendship, so I dismissed it as a joke and did not respond. I moved on to other leads, but the question would nag me for months to come. Unnecessarily. Pro tip: listen to your friends.